Stacy, and good morning, boys, girls.
It's the Leaning Tower of Cheesa.
Doctor, baby.
Perfect cast. You little fool, you with that buddy buddy act now under your thumb.
Welcome to the beginning of the podcast, where I, your host Brianne, introduce you to the podcast, A Goofy Movie Minute, the perfect podcast.
Thanks for introducing me to the podcast. I'd also like to introduce myself, as well as the podcast, with my name, which is Nathan, and the name of the podcast, which is A Goofy Movie Minute, and also with the slogan of the podcast, which is the perfect podcast.
Thank you for your introduction. I apologize for not introducing your introduction.
That's okay. I felt like your introduction was adequate introduction for my introduction.
And here we go. So we're at minute 17 now.
I'm excited.
I'm excited as well.
This minute is so jam-packed.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
So far, if you were only going to watch 1 minute, I would say watch minute 17 of A Goofy Movie. That's if you were going to watch 1 minute of anything.
Maybe like a video on how to do CPR, but...
Sure. But after that, fire up A Goofy Movie on the old VCR. Fast forward to minute 17. Play it until minute 18 is about to begin. Then stop it. Eject the tape. Put it into a Ziploc bag. And throw it in the trash.
Pass it on to the next person who has to watch it. And then pass it on. And then if they don't, 7 days later, Goofy crawls out of the TV.
And this kind of klutzy in your living room, possibly breaking one of your items.
After you watch it, your phone rings, and if you answer, it goes, 7 days!
Yeah. Anyway. So, minute 17 starts with Max continuing to be adored by his peers. This isn't a walk of shame. This is a walk of exaltation.
Walk of fame, one might say.
Sure. And it ends with Max skateboarding through a kitchen, knocking a fork out of a suicidal baby's tiny hands.
Ever the community hero. So
he doesn't even care. He's more about him at this moment. But we'll
but
see
it would
why.
Like ruin your day if a baby dies. So baby dies in your presence. So
I think he'd been out before the baby was technically dead. No, you're right. You're right. Saving babies' lives is always worth taking a moment to do.
All right. So as he's walking out away from the school, he's already gotten a few compliments from some of the classmates.
Great concert, lad.
And then, so this is no more looking at losers like him. Just gives him a little side hug and says, "Do well, bud."
You wailed, bud.
Oh, it's you wailed, bud. I kept hearing "do well, bud," and I'm like,
no, I think he said "you wailed, bud."
I was like. Is that just how people talked in the 90s? It's like, goodbye.
Hey.
Goodbye used to be like, God be with ye.
Yeah.
He's like, do well, bud.
Hey, bud, you weld?
Do weld? So he said, you wailed? Yeah. Isn't that, that's more of like a guitar thing.
Well, that's all that guy knows. It's his lingo. He's basically Wayne from Wayne's World.
So anytime someone performs, they wailed?
Yeah, it's like when you're like, you're killing it. It doesn't mean you actually killed anyone. That's only at battle. You're like, oh man, you totally killed it at war yesterday. Killed so many opposing soldiers from us. Shot them dead. Killed. Totally killed. Yeah. So everyone's still continuing to pour out of the school, and both boring and interesting people are walking by. Some of the boring people, if you remember way back at the beginning, were like the people that did the No More Gym. They just don't really have a lot of personality going on, but there's still a lot of other characters that do, even ones that don't talk.
All they have is their jockstrap slinging abilities. Without those, they're what? Really just mild-mannered people.
Sure. You see No More having to cheat? You see No More algebra test till December?
Yeah, you do see her. Okay. I saw her.
It seemed like she had different pants on. maybe she had an accident during art class.
Oh.
You thought it was because it's going to be a bathroom thing, but no, she spilled the paint bucket on her leg.
So, Pamela Anderson type girl.
Gonna move to the mall.
Yeah, gonna move to the mall. She comes, she's not very respectable. Sorry, she's not making a very good name for women. But she walks up and says, "Hey, Max, wicked dance." And like t- touches.
She's massaging.
Yeah, massages his shoulders. Like
he's like, I need an adult.
Yeah. Kind of weird. Because she's like a senior, totally. And he's like 14. This is weird. So
she's a senior at junior high.
At high school, junior high school.
Yeah. So Stacey runs up and goes, forget it, girl. He's Roxanne's.
And she pushes her
out of the way.
But that's okay because this girl knows pushing other women.
Yeah.
Around. That's what you do.
When we went back to identify just a few different of these people, make sure we had them all right, because it's our job. It's our job. And we went back and saw the scene where she says she's going to move to the mall. We neglected to mention back in that episode that she has a friend that's standing with her, looking at all of her credit cards, and is super excited. But as soon as Gonna Live in the Pool slides up, she pushes the other girl, and she yells. She goes, ah! How did we miss that?
Assaults her, yeah.
Anyway, so, she's not a good person.
When she punched Max back then, too.
Yeah, she did.
She's just not a nice lady.
She doesn't like anyone unless they've done a wicked dance. Girls only want to date guys that do wicked dances. That's also a lesson I learned from Napoleon Dynamite, even though they didn't say it in that movie.
Yeah, that is the overarching message, though.
So Pete runs up, jumps on Max's shoulders, and I don't want to fat shame, but he's a bigger boy. You could probably crush a spine or two.
Yeah, there's no way that would have worked.
And he says, way to go, man. And I just heard about you and Roxanne from... I guess word travels faster on junior high school.
I wouldn't be... It seemed like everybody... everybody found out about something. But I could see how that would have traveled around.
Stacy's probably spreading the rumor, right? Or do you think Roxanne is?
Maybe both of them. I don't know.
Maybe Principal Mazur made an announcement.
It's
attention,
like part of...
students! Max and Roxanne are now dating. Max belongs to Roxanne, apparently. So, a lot of little subtleties I've missed before. Like, I didn't notice that she was actually massaging him.
Yeah.
Or maybe just, like, how aggressive she was being. But I've always noticed that, even though in the last scene we saw them, they just agreed to go to a party together, that Stacy's already comfortable pushing another girl and being like, he's Roxanne's.
She's just
got the ownership.
Like, she's good. She's assertive. She's looking out for her friend.
I'm not.
She's a good wing woman. Said before. So did you notice when Peach jumps on Max's shoulders? There's like a couple people in the background, but there's one specifically who you don't really see until he jumps on his shoulders. But he's standing there and smiling, and he does not move. He doesn't move at all. He doesn't blink. He's just standing there smiling, and it's terrifying.
Is it the guy with the glasses?
No, there's this weird guy that looks like a 40-year-old.
Yeah, he doesn't look like a kid. Maybe that's one of the other teachers at the school.
Maybe.
But for his interest in this, it actually seems a little bit weird.
Yeah.
That he's like staring right at this gaggle of kids.
But yeah, like if you go back and look at it, notice this kid. It's creepy. He's just like behind them as they're interacting, not moving. He's like a glitch in the Matrix for sure.
Good catch. And then Pete decides to say, I told you our plan would work.
Yeah,
I think I recall you saying something like, this is never going to work. I told you we shouldn't have done this. My dad's going to squash me like a bug. My dad's going to nuke my existence.
Yeah, all of...
Yeah.
So we're getting a better picture of Peach's character.
Yeah. He just changes his story to fit whatever worked or didn't work. But I am impressed that he's able to be so happy for his friend when he's still going home to certain death.
Yeah, that's true.
He's like, well, the girl plan worked.
Yeah.
And he says, I told you our plan would work. Which if Stacy heard that, she's a bright girl. I think she'd immediately be like, wow, that was all to impress Roxanne. Like, it wasn't just a coincidence that she wanted to ask him out afterward.
What if that turned out to be like the romantic, or no, like in Aladdin.
Right.
Where it's like, you weren't powerless. You lied just to impress me. You weren't a pop prince the whole time.
Yeah. Roxanne, I'm sorry. Jasmine. Yeah. Then he uses his final wish to become the most powerful sultan in the world. No.
Then that doesn't
sorcerer.
He becomes the most powerful sultan in the world and has difficulty fitting in with his peers.
Yeah. And then Pete decides to start a chant. Max. 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 And Max is resistant, but then he pretty quickly embraces this new Max-centric attitude that the school seems to have.
Yeah, and everybody like joins in on this chant, including Bobby, who's in a statue.
Yeah.
It says like Max. What is it, Maximus?
I think it's Maximum.
Maximum. Yeah, that's what he says.
Maximum. He's hanging onto this statue of the founder of high school, junior high.
The original high schooler of high school, junior high.
Yeah. And it appears to be a rabbit in a suit giving a Nazi salute.
Oh, I didn't notice.
But when I looked closer, his hand was up. So it was more like a, I don't know. I've still never seen anyone do that in real life.
Yeah.
Stick their arm completely straight out and up, but with their wrist up. But
well,
I think
like
it
he's
was
like
more
trying
like
to catch some rain or something.
Yeah. Or like it's like he's giving a speech, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Like he was probably one of their most favorite lecturers, even though he was a rabbit. So progressive of them.
Yeah.
To allow a rabbit into the school. Although, like we said, PJ might be a bear, so.
True.
But in sheep's clothing. In a sheep's t-shirt.
Yeah. Not really sheep's clothing, more of a cotton t-shirt, perhaps. So, as the people are chanting, oh yeah, the cheerleaders join and they're jumping around.
They're like, we know how to do this. Next, next, next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, guys, our skill.
This is our thing. We cheer.
So he's leaving this circle and a pathway opens up, but it's not like the people just like part ways, like he's like a Moses of the crowds or something.
Yeah.
They just disappear.
Right. But, like, they just disappear in little pieces. It's like a, basically they formed like a donut around Max, if you look at from an aerial view, which this movie decides to do. And also, when you just saw Pete and Max, there were almost nobody behind them. Two people.
Yeah.
But now there's a thick crowd on all sides. And they do spread, and Max runs off. He runs away.
Yeah.
And so they're cheering, Max, Max, Max. And then as he starts running, they go, yeah! But this is kind of weird. Because try to imagine this happening. I can't imagine any of this happening. Somebody just did something during the school assembly that was so awesome that you want to touch them and talk to them and cheer for them. And as you do, they bolt and just run home while you're standing there. I mean, was he smiling or something? Why did that not look like he was just petrified?
Yeah.
Because you don't see that. I mean, it's like they're it seems like that would be really embarrassing. But like he should just like stand there for a minute. Maybe talk to some of his ears. They're like, Max is so cool. Max, Max, Max. They're like, there he goes. Where's he going? Home, I guess, rapidly. He probably wants to run home to begin summer and his like enjoy his new popularity at home by himself. Right?
Yeah, maybe he's just... Yeah, I don't know what his motive is. That's funny. Yeah.
It's like they just wanted to begin this next part of the scene. And that's how you do it. And everyone was so supportive of that.
If he just
but he's not like an athlete. Like, he's not running out to play the game that everyone's cheering him for.
Yeah.
Or, like, running onto a concert stage. Or even leaving a concert stage. Although, yeah. I guess it's maybe what it's most like.
Yeah.
It's like, we never got to cheer you on at the end of that show because, you know, the embarrassing ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to reiterate, they're really impressed by this thing that happened during a school assembly. When they came to my school and did yo-yos, no one liked that. No one cared. Nobody. And like the cooler it is, the worse it is.
Yeah.
They should even pay like Max to go to other school assemblies and just liven it up for their pep rallies.
Yeah, that's true.
Rip them into a riotous frenzy.
I'm like, I can't think of cool things like that that people have done. I guess like to me, I think you know this person too, but like the coolest thing I can think of from like high school was this kid just like got like $100 in like ones and fives and just threw it off of the balcony just to cause like chaos at the school. And all the kids like ran up and like grabbed it because, you know, money. And
dressed as a gang member.
Probably. Yeah. And like he got suspended for like 3 days for doing that.
Wow. Yeah.
Even though there's nothing like illegal about doing that. Just causing
riots.
Causing chaos. Yeah.
I guess that is a big deal. We were saying it's not a big deal. It is a big deal.
Yeah.
Don't cause riots. So now a song starts back up and we already heard this song. It's Stand Out by Powerline.
Yeah.
Great. So Max puts on his hat. He turns it around backwards so his hair comes out in the front. All cool, especially in the 90s. Throws on his sunglasses, which are very 90s as well, but are not technically the same sunglasses he was wearing as Powerline.
Yeah.
Because they're not reflective. And as it gets to the part of the song, he mouths, "It's a piece of cake." But here's the weird thing about this. So far, we've had different kinds of music in this movie. Okay, we've had the score, which is part of the movie. Like, they don't hear the score.
Yeah.
We've had a musical, which broke reality and everyone was singing with. That's fine. It's a musical. Then we had a music that was playing over a PA and Max was dancing to, which everyone could hear. That's, I'm fine with too. This is something else because it's a song. This is the first time a song has been playing as part of the soundtrack, but it's not playing from anywhere.
Yeah.
But Max still mouths along with the lyrics. So it's almost like it's part of the musical, but then it's part of the, like, you know, like a movie will have a score and a soundtrack. So it's the soundtrack, but Max can hear it, but it's not playing from anywhere.
So it's like I was saying in the last minute where you're like the omniscient observer, but you're experiencing it from Goofy's perspective.
Yeah.
And this way, you're probably experiencing it from Max's perspective. He's probably still like re-humming the song in his head and like reliving how cool that was. But yeah, you're right. Like it, I think that's, we should see if that theme comes up more in this, that you're just like experiencing it from that person.
You know how they could have fixed that?
What?
Him throwing on some headphones.
Yeah.
But you know, so like they're all cheering at him. He's running away. That's a little bit weird. Then he stops, puts on his sunglasses and mouths, "It's a piece of cake," but there's no music. Wouldn't that be weird?
Wait, yeah.
What did he say? Did he just say something under his breath? Yeah. Anyway, so that kicks off Max's journey back to his home. And boy, does he go to a lot of places in the second half of this minute.
Yeah.
You want to start us off?
Well, so first he goes by the school buses and Bobby's on the bus. We saw Bobby on the statue. And then in another shot, we saw Bobby on the statue. And when you see the aerial view of the circle of people, Bobby's still on the statue.
Yeah, you do see him even right then.
But now he's on the bus.
And the jock that was standing right there, who was cheering, is also on the bus. And he's giving him a high five.
So, yeah. Bobby's magic. I guess they're both magic. He's a magic man.
Maybe this goes back to my theory that they all have multiple twins because they're born in litters.
Yeah.
And they all dress the same. And they're imperceptible to a human observer, but they would know whether or not it was their friend or just another kid by sniffing their butt.
Yeah.
That's how they do that.
So next, speaking of buses, he goes past the bus stop that he passed earlier.
He doesn't just go by it. He moonwalks by it.
Oh, yeah, he does moonwalk by it. I forgot that. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
I was distracted because these ladies, there's two ladies sitting at the bus or at the bus stop, and I was pretty sure they're the same ladies as before during the song, so we looked it up again, and they are.
Yeah, the little one is the one that fainted earlier.
Yeah.
And they were also at a bus stop, meaning they took the bus from there to the school. No, they don't go there. And now they're taking the bus somewhere else.
Oh, I thought it was just the same bus stop. Actually, the signs were different. So yeah, you're right. They did just take it to somewhere else. I was thinking that they just like...
were at the bus stop all
like,
day.
I was like, oh, is this like their own version of Forrest Gump? Are they just like telling each other a story the whole day and then they realized they didn't even need to ride the bus because they just needed to go down the street?
That was the journey all along.
Yeah.
Or Ghost World. The bus doesn't come anymore, but they don't know it.
Yeah.
So he swings off the bus pole in order to jump up to the tree and hit the tree with his hand.
I'll slap it.
I've done that before.
Yeah.
But it's a weird thing if you're like going to have this big scene where you're doing all these crazy things that one of them's like, slapped a tree. Yeah. High five, tree.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought that was a cool detail to put in.
Yeah. It's just how excited he is. He can't do anything. Like, he could never just walk by a tree when he's in this mood. He has to jump, slap, and then probably slide to the next place he's going.
Yeah. So then the next place he goes is through someone's backyard.
Yeah.
He's... runs through a swing set, and I couldn't see the people on the swing set because he goes by so fast, but I don't know if you noticed anyone there.
And they're kids.
Well, yeah, so, but...
probably, we should have seen if that naked baby was there. I'm pretty sure not, though.
And then he hops onto a tire swing in the same yard, swings over the fence, onto a slip and slide.
Onto a diving board.
Oh, I missed that.
And there's a guy kind of in a lounge chair watching him do this.
It's a woman.
Oh.
She's tanning.
This scene reminds me a lot of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Exactly.
Yeah, where he's running to get home before the principal gets there or something.
That's the part where I thought it was like Ferris Bueller's, because like he goes through and there's like the ladies tanning.
Yeah.
And he's in such a huge hurry, but he like runs past him. And then he like stops and goes back and introduces himself to them.
Max doesn't, because he's only got eyes for Roxanne.
Yeah. So yeah, then he goes on the slip and slide.
Which he surfs.
Which would never work, but we'll let that slide, if you will.
We'll let it slip.
And
then he lands on some guy's skateboard and just takes it. And that guy is stoked for some reason. It's like, I love when my skateboard just gets landed on by a guy who jumped over a fence behind me and then takes off.
Yeah, I thought that too. I'm like, that's not nice.
Way back, not one of the first times I watched the movie, but the time I was watching where I decided to do this podcast, and I was kind of live Facebooking the movie. I remember that was one of the things I put down. Like, you just stole that guy's skateboard.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. You were weird.
But I noticed probably a lot of this stuff. I didn't make it all the way through the movie, but we will.
Yeah.
We will.
So he steals the skateboard and hops into a concrete cylinder that's being lifted.
A culvert
It's pretty cool. He like does a little loop-de-loop in there, but just like not, that wouldn't, why?
You're the skateboarder. This is extremely dangerous what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's skating around all the way around the inside of it, like not a half pipe, but a full pipe.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I don't have the film language to describe it, but this part is also really well directed. Like, you see him jump in there, and then it gets really close, and you can see what's happening, but you never lose where he is.
Yeah.
Then he jumps out of that thing straight onto a moving truck called the Starving House Pet Movers, and...
It's not a moving truck. It's stationary. But it is a moving truck.
Yeah. So the Starving House Pet Movers are... in the process of moving a couch into this house. All the furniture is on the lawn, and you know, like their living room set and all that stuff. So he goes off of it, and again the camera changes, so it's kind of behind him while he goes down and then dips underneath the couch that they're carrying.
Yeah,
it's just a really cool shot.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It's smooth.
Yeah, he's just gliding through life now.
This whole thing gives the impression of being almost like a montage, right? Like, he's montaging home, but he's directly going from place to place.
Yeah.
So, like, even though we saw him on the swings and on the diving board and then on the slip and slide and then on the skateboard, that was only three houses he went by.
Yeah.
You still need to do that for every house on the way to his house. Maybe the other ones just weren't interesting and didn't show him, but those were all consecutive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He barges through the house of like the Honey I Shrunk the Kids guy, where he's like delicately hanging over the grass trying to find his children. It's like, no, don't kill them.
They're all dead.
I was thinking that this would make a really cool video game, like on Sega, those old ones where it's just like the side scrolling video games, like kind of like Sonic the Hedgehog, or like, it kind of reminds me of the Lion King game. I just keep going back to other Disney movies.
Toy Story game.
Yeah, like that too.
Where you're on the skateboard?
Yeah, like all those like side-scrolling ones where you're just like doing one thing after another, and it's all these like physical tasks.
Yeah.
But you could totally make a video game scene out of this scene.
Yeah. And then every time you like ran into a kid, you would like fall down and be like, oh, and then it would like you fall down and it would be like, and then you would, if you hit like three kids, you would die. And it would be like, game over.
If you hit three kids, Roxanne dumps you.
Yeah, it's like you get like a Dear John letter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is another Ferris Bueller-ish thing where he goes through the house.
Yeah.
Because remember in Ferris Bueller, he goes through and he's like, dinner's ready. And then he's like, smells great or something.
Oh, yeah.
To someone else.
Yeah.
I've only seen that movie one time, but.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. So that's when he gets to, even though you would think that they probably would not have a baby just sitting there next to a coffee maker in this house that is being almost completely
moved out.
But that kid decided that he didn't want to move and would instead stick a fork into the socket.
Yeah, he's reaching over with a fork, nearly getting it in, saying, I won't have to face this change. You can't make me.
Yeah. Kill me.
But Max, ever the humanitarian, jumps in at just the right moment.
And hits it out of the baby's hand, at which point I'm sure the baby started crying because he can't reach the fork anymore. Reminded me of the Simpsons with Homer drawing bunnies on all the light sockets. Oh. Or on all the wall sockets. But Maggie's not afraid of bunnies. She will be.
Yeah.
This kid was about to learn that lesson, too.
They were like on The Office, or like Michael comes in, he was like, I was trying to get this gunk off of my outlet using a metal fork.
You gave yourself a nasty shock. Oh, yeah, that's when he starts thinking about his heritage.
Oh, yeah, about like if he died. Yeah, okay.
Whew, that was a big minute.
Yeah.
So packed.
What is it? How is it depicted in the book? Like, Max walked home?
Yeah. Max sauntered home from school. Just kidding.
No.
Max sauntered home from school. Chants of Max, Max, Max still rang in his ears. Everybody cheered for him. Football players. Popular kids. Everybody. Then he got on a skateboard that he took from some passerby. He was skateboarding around construction equipment and through the backyards of several different families. Then he saved a baby's life.
Nope, doesn't say that.
No.
Still.
This book is kind of an interesting abstraction of this movie. Because all the things I like about this movie are not in it.
Yeah.
There's nothing interesting happening in the background. A lot of the times, nothing interesting happens at all. There's no songs in it. It just talks about how one time he was dancing.
There's no songs in the book.
Yeah. You couldn't put the lyrics in quotes.
Yeah.
And so it's just like a pure abstraction of this story.
Yeah.
To determine if you read the script of this movie, would that be a good, entertaining time? So far, what do you think?
No. I mean, I guess I could. It's an easy book to read, so you could like plow through it in one night if you wanted to. But
that's definitely true.
I mean, some parts are funny because it's just like poor. What, like, I can't think of the example right now. Some parts are funny. They're just like not written very well. Like written by someone who is maybe like 15 years old.
Yeah, and whenever it describes the feelings, Max sauntered home. He was really happy because the kids had been cheering for him. He thought, "I like when they cheer for me. Shows that I'm accepted. And Roxanne has accepted me too. Pretty soon we'll be going on a date at the end of this summer. I have no plans until then." Uh-oh.
It'd be cool if it was written from like a more Harriet the Spy perspective or something. It's like, Max sauntered home. He was happy. I could tell because he was smiling. And he had an extra pep in his step.
No, she was smiling. Guy she was with didn't look too happy though. All right. Well, minute 17, what a great minute.
Oh, and it was a doozy.
Sometimes when there's a big minute like that, we have to talk so much just to cover what happened in the minute. Do you have any other stuff to say?
I don't think so. Like, it's not, I mean, unless there's a starving pet moving company that I don't know about.
So do you think the starving pets are the movers? Like, they need to make money? Because they're not pets in this universe.
Oh, yeah.
They're their own people. They just hate pets? It's a really weird name for a moving company.
Yeah. Because, like, the only occupation that you ever hear starving in is artist. Maybe grad student.
Oh, yeah. So maybe they are the pets.
Like, it's glamorous when you're saying, like, this person is putting off their own well-being to, like, work toward their dream. But you don't usually use that in, like, a labor type
Yeah.
thing where, like, your dream would not ever be to be, like, a mover.
Yeah, the starving retail employee.
Like, yeah, you wouldn't want that.
Yeah. So, I know I already mentioned it, but just how strange it was to choose this moment to run home for no reason.
Yeah.
But what is he expecting to happen? Everything he's gained, other than the knowledge that Roxanne will go out with him at the end of summer, one time.
Yeah.
Does not exist if he goes home. He's just going to be sitting around smiling.
Maybe he just like wants to run off and skip or something. I don't know.
I mean, I guess technically we don't know he's going home right now because we haven't seen that. But so far, we don't think there is any other places. He does have a backpack.
Yeah.
Wearing it. You said earlier that no one had backpacks in this
movie. Oh, yeah. Well, still, most of them don't. But yeah, he does have one at this point.
I got some sandwiches in my pack. remember Rescuers Down Under?
No. I guess I've only seen that movie once.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, that wraps up this minute. Oh, we should talk about how to get the contact with us. Do the promos.
Google a Goofy Movie Minute podcast. No, we have a Gmail that is a Goofy Movie Minute at gmail.com.
Yeah, at minute 15, I said a Goofy Movie Minute, and I did not say where the email was. I just said email us at a Goofy Movie Minute is Gmail.
Yeah, a Goofy Movie Minute at gmail.com.
Follow us on Facebook.
Schmashbook.
And Instagram.
Yeah, at a Goofy Movie Minute.
Yeah, and listen to Star Wars Minute. Go to Movies by Minute and see the other movies by minute. Oh, and Blowing Up Podcast might be coming back. So check that one out if you want to hear about pop culture and products mostly. Okay, well, that's it.
Do well, bud.
You wailed. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A Goofy Movie Minute is not endorsed by Walt Disney Pictures, Walt Disney Television Animation, or Disney Toon Studios. The podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. A Goofy Movie and all names, characters, images, and audio are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. You can get in contact with the podcast creators at agoofymovieminute@gmail.com. The Minute by Minute podcast format was created by Alex Robinson and Pete the Retailer of Star Wars Minute. You can find that podcast at StarWarsMinute.com.